Over the past year, we've covered a lot. We've talked about the keto diet and intermittent fasting, how and why you should implement both into your daily lifestyle, and I'll continue to deep dive on both of those strategies. But for now, I would like for you to consider another vantage point, another wellness strategy that you can use once you've achieved your ketosis or once you've attained your weight goals. There are many people that will continue to utilize keto practices, but there are also some that once they've reached their goals, they either switch to another dietary plan or they modify their keto diet, implementing it on off training days. Now stay with me here because you know I'm going somewhere with this. In our last segment, I discussed the levels of keto and how you can adjust it or modify it to fit your training or workout schedule. In other words, you follow the keto diet, but on training days, you may decide to consume more complex carbs on specific training days. Bottom line up front, what I'm getting at is another wellness eating plan that you could consider is the Mediterranean diet. Now, I bring this up because there are many people that once they have accomplished their fitness goals, they use a combination of keto, intermittent fasting, and the Mediterranean diet. For example, I've used all three of these wellness strategies in concert throughout various times in my life. You can implement these interchangeably as you develop more experience and you develop more discipline over time. When I was living in Europe for 16 years, I followed the Mediterranean diet and I obtained some positive gains. Hey, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Now, I didn't stop there. I also used the keto diet and limited my carb intake, but on training days, I did consume a little more complex carbs to fuel me through my 2-hour workouts, 1 hour of weights and 1 hour of cardio. And during that time, I also did intermittent fasting on certain days. So it is very possible to do a combination of these over a period of time. You have to follow and modify eating plans that are centric to you as it pertains to your active training lifestyle and make them yours as an individual. This doesn't work for everyone, but it completely amplifies your wellness game for those that do this. Moreover, it's very sustainable over a lifetime. Even today, I still use the Mediterranean diet, keto diet, and intermittent fasting. These are good eating habits that I've developed over decades. And now that I'm in a different chapter in my life, I still reap the rewards and benefits from starting them years ago. So, if you're wondering, what is the genesis of the Mediterranean diet? How did it come to be such an effective dietary plan that, much like the ketogenic diet, has proved to be another undeniable wellness strategy across the fitness industry? Let's talk about it. Welcome to Eat, Live, Love, Train. It's not a tagline, it's a lifestyle and a community of individuals devoted to food, wine, and wellness. I'm your host, Chef Shannon, executive chef, certified sommelier, and certified wellness coach. Also, proud Air Force veteran. Hashtag gratitude. As you listen, this will be one of the best moments of your week, where you're entertained like a stand-up, educated like a TED Talk, and enlightened like a sermon. If you're new around here, welcome. You can find me at eatlivelovetrain.com. Feel free to like, share, and subscribe. You can listen over at iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Alexa TuneIn, Pandora, and Google Podcast. I appreciate you. And if you got something on your mind, feel free to DM me on Instagram at eatlivelovetrain. And if you're not new, then you already know how we get down around here. If you would like to be a part of the Food, Wine, and Wellness Tribe and get routine updates and notifications on pop-ups, live streams, promos, members-only exclusive videos, podcasts, and or giveaways, be sure to get on the list to receive the newsletter. You don't want to miss out on opportunities that will enhance your kitchen game, hosting skills, food and wine persona, and bring added value to both your personal and professional relationships overall. You can sign up to get all these updates at eatlivelovetrain.com/newsletter. Now let's talk about the genesis. of the proverbial Mediterranean diet, which essentially is a combination of location, climate, and history that's proven to be a formula for one of the world's healthiest diets. Now, the Mediterranean diet as we know it today has only really been marketed as a specific eating plan for the past 4 or 5 decades. But at its core, its principles are based on dietary habits that date back centuries. The Mediterranean climate is a unique environment that has nurtured some of the world's most influential civilizations, ranging from the ancient Egyptians, the Greeks, Phoenicians, and the Romans. The cuisines that have evolved across this region are very diverse, but they have all been shaped and molded by their shared geography, climate, staple crops, and millennia of trade and cultural exchange. Holistically, these countries' traditional cuisines are mostly plant-based with plenty of fresh fruit, vegetables, legumes, and grains, with an occasional fish or seafood and dairy, but limited amounts of meat and sweet treats. When it comes to the weather, most of the region enjoys a Mediterranean climate that's characterized by hot, dry summers and mild, wet winters. There are three key crops that are integral to this region as they thrive in these conditions: olives, grapes, and wheat. Together, these crops are known as the Mediterranean triad, and they feature heavily in most of the region's cuisines in the form of olive oil, bread, and my personal favorite, wine. Ancient civilizations developed agricultural methods to help cultivate their staple crops, such as tiered terraces, to protect against soil erosion on the Mediterranean's many hillsides and mountainsides, as well as irrigation systems to supply water to more arid areas. Not only that, the technological advances led to inventions like grain mills and olive presses. These made production of otherwise labor-intensive commodities such as flour and olive oil far more efficient and enabled them to be produced in greater quantities. Mediterranean cuisine has been heavily influenced by occupying powers in surrounding countries and trade with the wider world. For centuries, the Romans dominated the region. Internal trade between the Roman provinces helped to spread regional produce and new imports around the empire, while external trade with India brought exotic spices to the region. Following the Islamic conquest of the Iberian Peninsula and Sicily in the Middle Ages, Muslim traders introduced various ingredients and crops from the Middle East and beyond, including apricots, aubergines, aka eggplants, carrots, citrus fruits, rice, and sugarcane. Further significant imports came in the 16th century following Spanish expeditions to the New World. Explorers returned with several popular additions, including potatoes, peppers, and tomatoes. And so today, it is almost impossible to imagine modern Mediterranean food without all of these ingredients. While trade did spread common crops and produce throughout the Mediterranean, each region retained its own distinctive cuisines, cooking techniques, and preferred ingredients. Take a simple dish, for example, such as a stew. You'll find a French bouillabaisse. You'll also find a hearty Italian ragu, warming Turkish gouvax, fragrantly spiced Moroccan tangines, and many, many more exotic dishes. Take a staple food such as bread. There are many varieties, with the same basic ingredients transformed into regional specialties, such as the baguette, the ciabatta, the pita, the matzo, and the copes. While the modern diet uses the broad general catch-all term of Mediterranean, the abundance of regional specialties provide a great deal of variety and inspiration. The Mediterranean diet itself is a relatively new concept The idea of Mediterranean being a cuisine in its own right was popularized by English food writer Elizabeth David in her largely influential cookbook, A Book of Mediterranean Food. The book was credited with changing English eating habits by reintroducing fresh, colorful recipes to a post-war nation that was tired of eating food rations. And it wasn't until the 1970s, when results from the seven-country study were published, that the scientific community and the general public as a whole began to take notice of the Mediterranean diet. Now, since that time, there have been thousands of studies into the Mediterranean-style diets, corroborating many of those initial findings and uncovering even more fantastic health benefits. Therefore, it should come as no surprise that the Mediterranean diet is one of the most widely influential and popular followed eating plans in the world today. It has remained consistently popular while countless fad diets have come and gone. The Mediterranean diet, or the Mediterranean lifestyle, is essentially a seven-country study that was conducted by scientist Ansel Keys. Specifically, Ansel Keys was an American physiologist who investigated and studied the links between diet and heart disease. In 1956, he began the seven-country study, a long-term project examining the relationships between people's diets and lifestyles and their risk of heart disease and stroke. For many years, teams spent time gathering health and lifestyle data from thousands of volunteers in the United States, Japan, Finland, the Netherlands, Italy, Greece, and parts of the former Yugoslavia, now known as Croatia and Serbia. The first results were published in the 70s, and the data illustrated that high blood cholesterol levels were linked to an increased risk of heart disease. The data also illustrated that despite having a fairly high fat intake, Mediterranean volunteers generally had a much lower risk of heart disease in comparison to American and Northern European participants. Now, Ansel Keys came to the conclusion that the unsaturated fats such as vegetable oils that featured heavily throughout the Mediterranean diets had beneficial effects, while the saturated fats in meat and dairy had detrimental effects on heart health. This seven-country study and discovery has been supported by many other scientific studies since then, and it has played an integral role in popularizing and coining the phrase Mediterranean diet as a means to improve a healthy lifestyle. And over the next two or three podcasts, I'm going to go deep and wide about the Mediterranean diet and how it can change your life. It certainly changed mine. These are my thoughts, and I'm curious to hear what you have to say on the subject matter. Feel free to send your comments or questions to chef-coach@eatlivelovetrain.com or DM me on Instagram @eatlivelovetrain. As always, I appreciate you tuning in, and remember, we are a reflection of what we eat. I'll see you next time.